Sorry, sorry. Oh, excuse me, excuse me. Sorry. Hey, could you turn that thing off?
For the eyes of the world, now look into space.
That's one small step for man. One giant leap for man. There seems to be no difficulty in moving around it.
This sure doesn't look anything like the beautiful night sky I saw in the movies. These darn city lights are ruining my view. I know we need lights for our safety, but do we really need this many? Gosh, dim it all! Why do the lights have to shine on the clouds, the airplanes, and the bellies of birds? What a waste of energy, light, and money. Light pollution didn't exist hundreds of years ago. I bet they had the perfect sky. Hey, I have an idea. Let's go back in time and let there be night. To travel back in time, we're going to visit a time transporter. It's here that we'll teleport to one of the first persons to use a telescope for science, Galileo Galilei. Imagine visiting with one of the all-time greats in astronomy. Here we go! Boy, it's sure dark in here. I have light, but I still can't see very well. Maybe if I block the candle flame with my hand, I'll be able to see. Now that's much better. Oh, nice telescope.
Hey, what's going on down there? Who is it at?
Hi, Galileo. My name is Hypatia. I was trying to come in quietly. And well, sorry for waking you.
A visitor. Hypatia, she was an astronomer in ancient Greece.
That's right. I was named after her.
What? A talking mouse? I must be dreaming.
The sign outside your villa suggests it's the Jewel, but it seems more like a jail.
I am confined here under house arrest, which means that I'm a prisoner in my own home.
Why?
After a few key discoveries with my telescope, I interpreted the evidence. Apparently, my ideas have put me in conflict with the church. And, well, this is the mess I'm in.
What discoveries are you talking about?
I can assure you if the sky is clear.
It is beautiful. However, when I was in the city earlier tonight, I can only see a few stars because of light pollution.
What's a light pollution?
Let's just say the sky looks pretty above your courtyard.
Then let's use my telescope to look at a few things. Light pollution. I wonder what that is.
Didn't you invent a telescope? After all, you did brag about it in your book, Starry Messenger.
Oh, I have to confess, I didn't really invent the telescope. A Dutch lens maker named Hans Lipperhey and others actually came up with the idea, and they tried to patent it. I heard about his idea, and then crafted a few telescopes of my own, made them by hand. My working scope is simply bound in paper, nothing fancy. My new improved telescope here is leather-bound with gold inlay, and that's just the tube. While others are building telescopes with 2 or 3 times magnification, I'm making scopes that magnify the image 30 times. Mine are simply the best.
Didn't you discover a lot of cool things with your telescope?
I'm not sure what you mean by cool. But I use my scope to make some discoveries that are changing our view of the heavens and the Earth's place in it. Until now, many people thought of the Earth was the center of everything. And with this new tool, I and others could see that's not the case. As an example, over many nights I looked at Jupiter through my scope, and this is what I saw. As you can see, there are 4 objects going around Jupiter. If Jupiter is the center of those 4 things, well, then Earth is no longer the center of all. With this new evidence, the old model clearly no longer works.
Your conclusions were amazing, considering the view through your scope is so tiny.
I can see things just fine.
Today, we call those 4 things moons.
Oh, wait a second. What do you mean today? Today is a today.
Now don't get upset. I'll explain what I mean about today a little later.
Earlier she mentioned a light pollution, and now today isn't really today. She's a strange little mouse.
Today, the moons of Jupiter you saw are referred to as the Galilean moons. They're named after you.
I'm honored.
Would you like to see Jupiter and its moons through my telescope?
Okay. Where is your telescope?
It's right here.
Oh, my. I can't take much more of this weird stuff.
Here, take a look.
Oh, that's spectacular. I can't believe that image looks so magnified.
Oh, Galileo, even that view is small compared to our most powerful 21st century telescopes.
The 21st century? That's 400 years from now. How can that be?
Why don't you show me some of your other discoveries, and then we'll compare views.
For centuries, since Aristotle, many people thought the moon was a smooth crystalline sphere. However, when I examined the moon with my telescope, I realized it was made up of rugged mountains and deep valleys. Take a look at some of my drawings. Now, let's see what it looks like through your telescope. Whoa! Incredible! Did you know, using lunar shadows and simple trigonometry, I was able to calculate the heights of those mountains? When I observed Saturn, it looked like it had ears.
Later on, as we improved the telescope, we could see those ears were actually rings.
Rings? Did you say rings? What makes up the rings? How did they form? Can you stand on them? Do they move?
The rings might represent a moon graveyard, where in the past a few icy moons may have collided with each other. Or they were simply moons torn apart by the gravity of Saturn. Either way, in their wake are a few thousand rings of ice and sandside particles of rock. No, you can't stand on them because they are not solid. And yes, they revolve around Saturn.
Did you know I observed Venus through my telescope for over 2.5 years? I was amazed to discover that it went through the same phases our moon goes through. Are you noticing our moon phases are pretty much the same size and the phases of Venus vary in size? You might be able to see how I came up with the idea that Venus was orbiting the sun and not the Earth, as most people believed.
I get it now. Moon phases stay the same size because our moon remains pretty much the same distance from us as it goes around the Earth. The phases of Venus vary in size because the distance between Earth and Venus changes as they orbit the sun.
I also was one of the first people to study sunspots. They are small areas on the sun that appear black. They also move, indicating the time of the sun's rotation.
There's one thing I need to mention about the sun. I don't want any of you to ever look directly into the sun, especially with your telescope. It's way too dangerous, okay? With your telescope, you made some great discoveries. And because of that, we consider you a giant in the world of astronomy.
A giant, huh? I like that. Woohoo! Hey, look over here at that ribbon of faint light arching across the sky. Do you know what that hazy band of light is?
Sure, it's the Milky Way. Though I've never seen it like that. Where I live, I can barely see it because of...
I know. A light pollution. Are people placed under a house arrest for light pollution?
No. But often they confine themselves in their telescopes to the indoors at night.
How sad. For to see the truth, one ought to look through a telescope, not store it in a closet. They'd see the Milky Way is made up of hundreds of stars.
Actually, we're looking at millions of stars, and they all belong to our galaxy.
Want to see one more thing?
Sure.
The Greeks called this a constellation Orion the Hunter.
Other cultures saw a giant, or three zebras, or three brave hunters pursuing a polar bear.
With my telescope, I observed this part just below the three belt stars. I'll bet if we aimed your telescope at this area, the Orion Nebula, we'll see some very interesting things. What is that?
That is the Orion Nebula. It's just a closer look. It's a star nursery.
Right there, we're seeing the birth of stars? Amazing, truly amazing.
Galileo, you forgot to mention that you discovered planet Earth. Think about it. Before you made your discoveries, the Earth was, well, just the Earth and everything went around it. Because of you, we now know the Earth, a planet, goes around the sun, just like Venus, Jupiter, and all the others.
Well, I can't take all the credit. Many people had a lot to do with that. But I guess I did help contribute to that notion, and that is really, cool.
You sure do have a beautiful sky. Much prettier than my sky back home.
The stars here are the same ones you should be able to see.
Yes, I know. The star patterns are the same as yours, but we just can't see all of them. In many places, we can't even see the Milky Way.
Oh! What's the cause for your light pollution?
Lights. Lots and lots of outdoor lights.
Why do you have all those lights?
We need sufficient lighting in our modern society. We use lights at night for security around our buildings and homes, shopping mall parking lots, advertising billboards, streets, and decorations, just to name a few. The problem is, most of the lights go up, down, out, and every direction in between, well beyond the intended target. It's so bad, we divide light pollution into three categories. Glare, where the light shines directly into your eyes. Light trespass, where light spills over onto your neighbor's property. In sky glow, which washes out the night sky.
I'm beginning to see the problem. Hypatia, if you could come here to my century, can we go to your time and a place?
Sure.
Then let's bust out of this prison. It's a jailbreak time.
Okay, here we go.
Ouch, these are lights. They hurt my old eyes. Gosh, dim it all. Where are we?
This is today for me, and for you, it's the future. Do you see what you're doing? It's intuitive to put your hands up to shield your eyes from the bright lights. By shielding the light, without reducing the amount of light that reaches the ground, we can eliminate unwanted light, reduce the energy to this fixture, and save taxpayer money.
You still pay taxes, huh?
By reducing energy, we can also cut down on greenhouse gases that contribute to global warming.
You have a global warming problem too?
Current evidence seems to indicate so.
I was going to ask you if you people use the night sky, you know, like for storytelling or for determining time in the seasons. Now I know the answer. You don't, because you can't. So why should anybody care about outdoor lighting issues?
It's not just about astronomy. Glare overwhelms our eyes, creates shadows, and reduces personal security, which is often why people claim they need lights in the first place. More lights certainly doesn't mean better security. It usually just means more glare. In the bright lights, many times a motorist can't see a cyclist, pedestrian, or safety signs located along the sides of the roads.
I'm not sure what you mean, motorists, but go on.
In addition to what we've mentioned, energy and money, personal security, motorist safety, we now know that light pollution is an emerging environmental concern.
Hypatia, look out!
Ooh, that was scary. See the problem nocturnal animals like me have? Light pollution affects the whole predator-prey relationship. I lose my protection with all these lights. And I can't forage for food easily. Tall buildings and lighted towers confuse migrating birds. The circling birds either die of exhaustion or die of collisions with each other or the structure themselves. When sea turtles hatch on the beach, they find the ocean by moving away from the dark silhouette of the dunes and the vegetation. When artificial light interferes, the turtles are attracted inland instead of seaward. Studies suggest that light pollution impacts salamanders, bats, moths, owls, fireflies, even algae and zooplankton. The list goes on and on. So you see, Galileo, everything, even human beings, are taking a beating. The balance of nature is at risk.
You modern people are so enamored with the lights. You're like circling moths getting singed by the technology. So, how do you turn off one of these brilliant lighting devices? It must be extremely complicated and expensive, huh?
Actually, it only takes a flick of a switch.
A flick of a switch?
Yep, we can simply turn off the lights we're not using with a flick of a switch.
Hey, you dimmed it, and I can still see well.
Lots of simple ideas work. Shield the lights, direct all the light where it belongs, install motion detectors. If you switch your light bulbs to lower wattage, take the time to lower the lumens or brightness, it will also help. Or simply turn the light off.
If you make people aware of the issues, then maybe they will change their habits.
Correcting the impact of light pollution is often just a matter of awareness. Hey, with smarter lighting practices, we all win.
How do you, a modern people, know when enough outdoor lighting is enough? How much of the night sky have you already lost?
We can measure sky brightness in several ways. For example, people around the world are going to count the stars of a particular constellation. Depending on one's location in the season, They might look at Orion the Hunter, Cygnus the Swan, Scorpius the Scorpion, or the Little Dipper in Ursa Minor.
And doing so will quantify your light pollution? How does that work?
During the star count, people will compare what they see from home with several star charts like this. The more light pollution, the fewer the stars. Everyone will enter the information, location, weather, and chart number, into a computer, which will help compare all of our observations.
I'm not sure what you mean by a computer, but go on.
Each picture of Orion is defined by the faintest stars that can be seen with the unaided eye. The magnitude numbers vary from picture to picture because of varying amounts of light pollution.
Magnitudes, huh? Hipparchus created a magnitude scale centuries ago. The brightest stars were labeled magnitude 1, and the very faintest stars were a magnitude 6. Here in your sky, with lots of light pollution, your visibility is limited to a handful of magnitude 1 stars. If you had no sky glow, like in my time, you could see thousands of stars, all the way to magnitude 6, near the limit of the human eye. This is the view you're being denied because of its light pollution.
Some star counts will also use a handheld sky quality meter, or SQM, which gives a digital display of the amount of sky glow overhead. The SQM scale is similar to the magnitude scale. The lower the number, the lower the quality of your night sky. If we went back to your night sky with this meter, the reading would probably be around 21, the perfect sky.
So, anything less than a 21 indicates how much night sky you've already lost. At what point do you draw the line? You brought me to my future. What is your future?
Allow me to show you.
Where are we? What are those tall columns?
These are the rockets that have taken us into the new frontier of outer space. This one took men to the moon.
Humans have actually landed on the moon? I've always wanted to drop two things off a tall tower. Aristotle claimed the heavier object would hit the ground first. Can I try it here?
Sure. How about a feather and a hammer?
If there is no atmosphere to slow the feather down, yes, I declare they would still hit at the same time.
Well, have I got something to show you. Here's astronaut Dave Scott on the moon, which has no atmosphere.
Well, in my left hand I have a feather. In my right hand, a hammer. And I guess one of the reasons we got here today was because of a gentleman named Galileo a long time ago, who made a rather significant discovery about falling objects in gravity fields. And we thought that where would be a better place to confirm his findings than on the moon. And so we thought we'd try it here for you. The feather happens to be appropriately a falcon feather.
Hey, that's me he's talking about.
And I'll drop the two of them here, and hopefully they'll hit the ground at the same time. How about that? Mr. Galileo was correct in his findings.
Phew! It worked!
We've landed unmanned spacecraft on Venus, Mars, a comet, an asteroid, and Titan, the big moon of Saturn. We have flown by every planet, and we're on our way to Pluto, whatever it may be. I bet you didn't know about the planets Uranus and Neptune.
No, I didn't.
Actually, you observed the planet Neptune. It's in your drawings. But through your telescope, it appeared to be another star.
Hey, what's that?
That's an orbiting telescope that allows us to see the universe in infrared wavelengths.
Infrared wavelengths?
It's part of the electromagnetic spectrum.
The what?
The electromagnetic spectrum. It's the range of light you see and the light that you can't see.
Light you can't see? You lost me.
This spectrum is made up of all the light energy. In the very center are visible colors of the rainbow. Each color has a different wavelength. The longest wavelength is shown on the left, and the shortest wavelength is shown on the right.
Hey, I see infrared on this chart.
That's right. Infrared is invisible light energy whose wavelength is a little too long for our eyes to see. Next to that, we have a slightly longer wavelength called microwave. The longest wavelength is radio. On the other side of visible light are shorter invisible wavelengths of ultraviolet, X-ray, and finally gamma ray.
I bet you have a telescope for every one of those invisible wavelengths.
Yes, we do. And they make a big difference in how we observe the universe. Here's Orion in infrared.
Ooh, that's a beautiful picture. But where is Orion?
It's right in front of you.
Oh, I am so impressed.
Just as your telescope changed our vision, these modern instruments allow us to see the universe in a whole new light.
So, where do we go from here, Hypatia?
As people become aware of the issues, they'll hopefully turn down the lights. It's time to act, because we are all stewards of the night.
Speaking of a time, I think it's a time for me to go back home, back to my beautiful sky.
Meeting you, Galileo, was the thrill of my life.
Oh, the pleasure was all mine, Hypatia. Thank you, and good luck. Remember, the balance between day and night is in your hands. Let there be night.
Can't remember the last time we sat together in the dark and just looked up at the sky, seeking courage to embark.
You slide your key into my pocket. We steal a superhero's cape and fly off into the night to help the prisoners escape. In this light, you look so nice with your eyes shining back at me. Thought we couldn't see. Let's bring the old gang back together,
like Kurosawa's samurai.
Yeah. And stampede into the system
and pledge to fight until we die. We ride across the sky like bandits. We stuff our dreams into cigars, light 'em up on a supernova, and inhale what once was ours. In this life, you look so nice, with your eyes shining back at me. And in this life, our eyes adjust to what we thought we couldn't see.
Take this.
I ain't afraid to get old. It's just the thought of losing a touch that really scares me. And I've never shied away from all the difficult questions. I'm a rational guy.